This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Very excited to have Carl Paulson join the program here today. He's there on the grounds at Shinnecock Hills getting ready for the United States Open. And Wes Reynolds, Wednesdays with Wes, to wrap up the show today, get his expert analysis on our national championship, which begins, I can't believe it, in less than 24 hours. We're so excited for that. But we got some World Cup to discuss. We're going to hear from world number one. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
So we're going to get all the golfing superstars out there at the United States Open. We had some on the pitch yesterday as well for France, Argentina. Of course, Argentina is the reigning defendings. Norway looked good yesterday as well. Jensen, it felt kind of like if you were looking for some chalk and the big boys to show up and flex their muscles, maybe we got a little glimpse of that yesterday at the World Cup.
Definitely did. And a couple of good parlays that get home for us. Argentina and the under 3.5 come home. The over 2.5 in Norway, Iraq gets done in the first half. And then the worst beat of the tournament so far, France in the under 3.5. There were two goals by France in to the 90th minute into stoppage time. We get two more goals in the final 5 minutes. Don't like you, Mbappe. Don't like any of you, Le Bleu. How do you let Senegal put one through? Just awful. At any rate, the big headline is our big dogs, right? Our big goal scorers. Messi, the hat trick. He ties the World Cup record with 16 total. Mbappe with France and Holland there with Norway. A three-leg anytime goal parlay for those three gentlemen. Dave, 9-1 on the payout. So job well done from all the chalk bettors out there. It was a public day on the pitch yesterday in the World Cup.
Very quickly, Argentina's only come down a dollar. They were 10-1 before play yesterday, 9-1 this morning at most books that I'm seeing here. What do you make of that? Because we know normally you say cross off teams are trying to go back to back. It doesn't happen. Where are you on Messi and Argentina?
Doesn't matter, really. The first round, I think, was kind of what we expected. It's hard to look at like this stage in the group with where they are as far as the futures go. To me, I think you just ultimately have a money line rollover. I think that's where the value would be. And I'll tell you, I think there's some trip up spots for them later in the knockout round. Should they get there? Absolutely. But I think you kind of saw France play with their food a little bit, but they get it done. It's almost like they hit another gear. So I think we're in good shape with the big dogs at the top.
Big dogs might be at the top here at Shinnecock Hills, and the biggest of those dogs is world number one, Scottie Scheffler. And if you don't know, you're going to hear it a lot on the broadcast, I'm sure, this weekend, that he's going to turn 30 on Sunday. So it could be this perfect symmetry lining up where Scottie, the big 3-0, he wins the U.S. Open, which would also complete the career Grand Slam. Only six guys in the history of the game have done that. Of course, Rory McIlroy, the last to do it. It feels like, Jensen, maybe there's not a lot of talk about that. There's all the talk about it last year leading up to Augusta for Rory. Let's hear from Scottie. Is that the motivation this year to complete the career Grand Slam?
It's kind of a funny thing. It's like, yeah, if I win this tournament, that would be amazing. But I think then I show up the next week and it's like, okay, now Scottie's won the Grand Slam. He's won all these golf tournaments. Now where do we go from here? And so no matter what, I think as a player and as a professional athlete, you're never going to live up to the expectations of people. And I think sometimes that's a little bit of the fallacy in our sport, is that like, oh man, if I win the US Open, then I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be, you know, I've won all the tournaments, then my career is essentially over and I've accomplished everything I could want to accomplish. But then I think the goalposts are always just moved further and further. For me, you know, would it be a dream to win the US Open? Of course. But at the end of the day, like the Grand Slam has never been a motivating factor for me. You know, I always just wanted to be the best version of myself, and that got me this far. And so when it comes to this golf tournament, you know, like I said, I'm going to step up on the first tee, remind myself that I've done everything possible I could in order to play well. And now it's just a matter of going out there and trying to execute and, you know, kind of going back to enjoying the competition versus feeling like you have to win for some reason.
Many reasons I enjoy doing the show with you, but Jensen, you get that perspective that not many others can, that Scottie was alluding to, that in college, you know, then you become a pro and then you start to win and then the goalposts move. Not to say that you're never satisfied as a pro, but you can, I assume you can relate to what Scotty was putting down there.
So two things at play here. Number one, when you're financially free, Dave, and you don't have to worry about paying another bill in your life, it is a completely different mindset going and doing, you know, what you love to do. And not many of us get to that point. You know, we're fortunate to play a kid's game for money, and that's kind of where you are with professional golf. I've always hearkened back to one of the things that he talked about, and Dave, this is what separates elite athletes. And in golf particularly, you are not playing against the field. You're playing against yourself. It is, we used to joke in baseball, Dave, we play the hardest sport there is on planet Earth. To hit a pitched Major League Baseball is the hardest thing to do in professional sports. Nothing else comes close to it. The second hardest sport is golf. And we used to say we are a psychologist's worst nightmare. We play baseball for our job. And then for fun, we go play the second hardest sport there is. And so I always look back at the mental fortitude it takes to hit a ball that's not moving, that's in different conditions, it's on different slopes, with different clubs, with people around you. The action doesn't start, Dave, until you swing. Mm. And think of the mental pressure you go through on that, much more of, oh, Scottie Scheffler, everyone's looking at you, and it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't care. That's elite discipline. Like that's otherworldly mental fortitude to say, it doesn't matter, man. I'm going home to Meredith. I'm going home to, you know, my kids and doing what I want to do. That's my priority. I'm like getting off the, I'm hurrying to get off the course because there's something bigger. Like imagine having that where other guys are trying to pay caddy fees and, you know, make sure they can survive and keep their tour card. That just shows you the elite level that he's at mentally going into each of these events.
You know, I'm glad Rory got his flowers after winning at Augusta and then backing up, winning back-to-back at Augusta and getting those two green jackets. It's amazing, right? But I felt like the whole world stopped for Rory. And I hope if that happens Sunday for Scotty, I'll be rooting for it, by the way. I have no tickets on it as of yet. I hope he gets his as well. I thought very insightful analysis that Scotty gave of his game, of where he's been, like you just did with your career. That's rare that you get those glimpses into what makes professional athletes tick. And I love that part of it. We know what makes it tick for Cam Jordan. He loves to play this game. He's going to play it as long as he can. 8-time Pro Bowler, 16th year in the NFL, and he's coming back for one more. He says, this is the swan song. There will be no 17th year. I know what he means to that team. I know what he means to that area and that community as well. But Jensen, from a tangible spot, and we're going to get to our betting guide here coming out next week, how important is this for New Orleans to have their defensive leader back for one more run?
Yeah, I think just the leadership in and of its own right is huge. He's also still a pretty good proven pass rushing product there, and that is going to be great. I think the institutional knowledge of the Saints organization will allow the onboarding for the defensive unit much quicker. You know, he, again, is a stable figure. You can probably nominate him for that Mount Rushmore of Saints greats in the modern era. Mm. I don't want to give away the store, but I think you and I are going to be very intrigued with what the NFC South looks like. a wide open race this year for that divisional crown.
Remember, the Carolina Panthers are the reigning defendings. I say again, the Carolina Panthers are the reigning defending champions of the NFC South. I don't know that you and I are betting that way this year. Torts, man, what a fun run this really was. We said it right here on this show the morning after he was hired, after they fired Bruce Cassidy. We're like, what is going on? And we immediately said, wow, that I am so intrigued by VGK and what they could become with Torts at the end of the year, all the way two wins away from hoisting Ward Stanley's Cup. Not coming back, Jensen. You and I talked about it too. And I said, look, the plan is for him to not return. We wondered if it would change. It did not. And I don't think this is anything but what they had agreed to. And they're following through with that agreement from coach and management.
Agreed. And the latest rumors are that Ryan Craig, one of the internal options there, he was part of that cup winning staff, I believe, in 2023, has been an assistant since 2017. So a wealth of knowledge already about, you know, what that organization's about. John Stevens, also another name that's an assistant there, veteran guy. I think they're in good hands. They'll do their due diligence looking around, and I think that that is well warranted. But, boy, when you got that kind of succession plan already in place or at least available to you, VGK in very good hands moving forward.
If John Tortorella wants to coach again, I hope he does selfishly because I love characters like him out there on the bench and on the mic here with the media. But look, he's earned it. If he doesn't want to coach anymore, we can totally understand why as well. Speaking of earning it, we've got the Final Four now set in Omaha. Good call by you. West Virginia was 17-1 before they beat Troy yesterday. Now they're down to 10-1. They're the longest shot on the board. Carolina is odds on. They'll do battle here, West Virginia and North Carolina. What do you make of this Final Four here in Omaha?
I love it. And again, we get right into elimination scenarios today, Dave. Should North Carolina and Oklahoma win, we will have our College World Series final matchup. Should either of those teams lose, if not both, then we will have winner-take-all games moving forward. So again, I think West Virginia well-positioned right now. North Carolina, though, a stable of arms and the added extra rest, as does Oklahoma. Uphill battle, I think, for Georgia, but if any team can kind of bash their way to a victory, it's certainly the Bulldogs. Buddy, this is a fabulous Final Four we have in Omaha. A lot of drama still yet to unfold later this afternoon.
Love it. Selfishly rooting for your adopted team here in West Virginia at 10-1. Love to see them get that ticket home. Let's talk more U.S. Open. If you have not made those wagers yet for tomorrow's national championship, we've got some contest advice that we're going to give you, and we'll do that next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
It is almost U.S. Open time, and Splash Sports has a high-stakes United States Open Challenge, and it's live right now. $500 to enter for a shot at $100,000 guaranteed. Here's how it works. You're going to pick six golfers, one from each of the six tiers. Your top five scores count, and your worst golfer gets dropped. So the lowest score, of course, is going to win. So it's all about finding that value across the board, not just stacking up those favorites. Multiple entries are allowed, so you can build a few different lineups and increase your shot at that 100K prize. Right now, new players using the promo code VSiN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20, a 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Sign up now at splashsports.com. Use that code VSIN. Got to be 21 years of age or older. Must be present in select states. See the site for the full rules and the details. Jensen Lewis, you and I, because we're too sharp, baby. We're not allowed to be in this. We say that tongue in cheek. But we're not allowed to enter this contest. But that didn't stop us from trying to give out the best advice to people that can enter this Splash Sports contest. So again, six tiers, right? So they've grouped the golfers, one, two, three, four, five, six. So different golfers. You can select any golfer you want out of each tier. And again, going to keep the top five scores and eliminate the lowest one. Do you want to give your ideas first, or would you like me to receive and go first?
Go ahead. Yep, go ahead. I think yours is intriguing, and we know, I think, ooh, that we'll have some differences for sure.
Okay, now look. In tier one, I know, how do you not take Scottie Scheffler? I get it. I totally understand it. I wanted to zag just a little bit. I'm trying to win this thing, right? So I went with Cameron Young, and I mentioned it, shameless plug, go back, listen, like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast, that Cameron Young, a New Yorker, we're playing in New York. He hasn't won a major yet. He's the players' champion from this year. We saw what he did at the Ryder Cup also on really tough golf courses, and he just excelled. I think Cameron Young's going to be right there. Can he win it? Absolutely. He can win this tournament this week. And I think if you want to zag away from Scotty and you're trying to win the Splashboards contest of 100K, that's what I would recommend. Now, look, if Scotty wins, you're going to go, how did you not pick Scotty? And I understand that mentality, too. Tier two, I really like his form. It's weird because I don't know how much form really matters coming into this, because the RBC where they just played the Canadian Open, it's not going to play anything like this golf course is. But Wyndham's overall form, not just last week, but in general, has been really good. And he's won, of course, on tour this year down there in Texas last month. We know about the history of Wyndham Clark. Some really good, winning the United States Open in L.A. Some really bad at Belmont. I don't know if he's ever welcome back there after destroying the clubhouse. So it feels like Wyndham's in a better spot. Personal life seems like everything's going well there. I think his game is back here, Jensen. I think Wyndham Clark Tier 2 is a way I'd want to look. Oh, man, Patrick Reed. I heard him do a little walk and talk with our buddy there on the Golf Channel yesterday, and Todd Lewis, and Todd was asking him about this golf course. And I think it's almost like we think Patty Reed is somehow like European. I mean, this was Captain America back in the day on the Ryder Cup teams before he went to live golf. And then all he does, we see him over there in DP World Tour. Oh, it's like we never see him play in America, it feels like, these days. He's coming back to the PGA Tour, and he loves this golf course. Let me repeat, he loves this golf course. And there's another dog-to-the-bone type guy that when he's around, and we saw he was around there for the Green Jacket this year, he's playing really well at big events now, that he's almost back to full membership, and he wanted to work his way back in the PGA Tour. I think you're going to see a lot of Patrick Reed this weekend. I think it's a really good golf course for him. Bobby Mack in Tier 4, Robert McIntyre, and the Scotsman. This is the type of golf course, some would describe it as an American Links-style golf course. I don't know if that's really accurate the way it plays, but if so, for the guy that's won the Scottish Open and has played good in windy conditions, Robert McIntyre, Tier 4, is a guy I really like. I mentioned the second Cam. I love Cam Smith this week. I don't like Cam Smith. I love Cameron Smith this week. And to get him in Tier 5, I think might be a steal out there. And again, I mentioned that they've widened the fairways this year, and I think that's going to help a guy like Cameron Smith, because when it goes south, it normally goes south off the tee. That's normally the problem for him. He's still one of the very best putters in the world. And, you know, when he won the British Open and ran down Rory McIlroy to win that major, it was the putting on that Sunday that got him across the line. I don't need him to go out there and be first-round leader. That would be nice. That's a little foreshadowing. But if he can go out there and play well and be around on Sunday, I think those competitive juices start to go again. I like Cameron Smith. And I'll stay right there with another Australian, Jason Day. J-Day? Played really well at Augusta, starting to show up again. Former world number one, tough golf courses. So if you're looking at my list here, you've got guys that either all won majors, like a Wyndham Clark, like a Patrick Reed, like a Cameron Smith, or guys that are always around and have won big-time tournaments, like a Cameron Young at the Players, like a Robert McIntyre at the Scottish. These are big-time players and a former number one in Jason Day. I want pedigree. And maybe we haven't seen the best of these guys recently in some of them, but the form is coming back for most. Jensen, that would be my recommendation for Splashboards, in it to win it for 100K.
Great stuff, and I like where your head's at. My lineup is very Euro-heavy, and I think the weather on Thursday and just the ability to mentally have fortitude is exactly where I wanted to be. I waffled between Scotty and Tommy Fleetwood, and I'm going to give Tommy Fleetwood another chance. First and foremost, already knows what it's like to play towards the top of the leaderboard and have a chance to win it. Now, it's all the way back in 2018. Gosh, a lot's happened since then. But you have the ball striking. You have the win game profile, which it looks like it's going to be ever present there in round number one. So I need a guy that can handle the elements and who has the form to be there, plus the course history. Colin Morikawa, best ball striker, iron player in tier number two of the choices that we were given. That's what you want on firm, fast greens. JJ Spawn was my other thought here, Dave. I went, though, with a guy in Colin Morikawa that I think has an opportunity with recent form to be a bit better. No shock here with my next two selections. Bad weather, guys that love it, give me the Grinders in Shane Lowry. Excellent fit for the brutal conditions. The proven winner in those tough major spots. Of course, we know he did it in the Open. He's got strong scrambling and the mental makeup to do it. And of course, Justin Rose, with his Shinnecock experience, he's really good on tricky greens and especially in the wind. Savvy veteran. Of course, I'm going to need a Rose to be in that lineup. All right. When it comes to scrambling, when it comes to short game, when you look at a video game, Dave, if you're building a golfer, you want the chipping and scrambling ability of Jordan Spieth. Now, he may not win it, but the pedigree is there. The ability to get through some of these crown greens and get out of the rough. If I need a shot to get me out of Dodge, I'm taking Jordan Spieth from the rough. I think we'll be in great shape. And then, you know, Ricky Fowler does have history here at Shinnecock. And back in 2018, yes, I know it's a long time, but sometimes you harken back to that, Dave, like, hey, I've been here before. I know what looks good. I know what I got to do to navigate through. And it's a tough week. He's a solid veteran. I just feel that mentally he can handle the grind. And a reminder, of the six golfers, you can drop your worst one. So you've got a little bit of an out here. And I just think my mix of course history with what Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, obviously with where we are with Colin Morikawa and the strong ball striking, I think we've got a high probability of getting five of these guys through, if not six. And so that is my recommendation for this Splash Sports U.S. Open lineup. Tommy Fleetwood, tier one. Colin Morikawa, tier two. Shane Lowry, tier three. Justin Rose, tier four. Jordan Spieth, tier five. And Ricky Fowler in tier six. We could win it, Dave. They just won't let us play.
They won't let us play. We understand why. Ricky Fowler is on my ban list. He's been on the ban list for over a decade. I can't take him off of it. But I gotta tell you this. I love where your head's at with some of those Euros. And Shane Lowry and Justin Rose are really interesting to me this week, especially Rosie. There's something about Rosie at majors, tough golf courses. Augusta certainly would qualify, and he's always around there. I like where your head's at with a lot of those Euros. And it is, you and I do not have Scottie Scheffler on either one of our cards, and obviously we considered both of those. But again, I think what Jensen and I are trying to say is that's going to be a very chalky selection in a contest like this with 100 grand on the line. And you're looking for ways to differentiate your lineup from others in order to be in it to win it. And I do think because Scotty will be the most popular tier one choice, you and I are trying to find pivots from that. And I think Fleetwood, this golf course should lay out perfectly for Tommy. The question will be, can he get the ball to the hole on a Sunday to win it, right? That's going to be the biggest question for a guy like Tommy Fleetwood. And a guy from Cameron Young that I think that, you know, we go to the players and winning there. And then maybe to Augusta, he's got the lead on Sunday, didn't close there. So we're going to be looking for those two guys to be around on Sunday. And potentially, in order to win this, you might have to beat a Scottie Scheffler. That's what it takes. But I love the lineups here. Take that as food for thought for everybody out there in that Splash Sports contest. Get those entries in today, and you might win a cool $100,000. It is By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, and we know the football season is right around the corner, but the best bettors, they're already preparing for it right now. Next week, we've got our big release, the NFL Betting Guide. It's going to be packed with everything you need to attack the futures market, win totals, divisional races, the upcoming NFL season. Lock in that early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. You will be among the first to get the guide when it comes out on Monday. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. You'll get full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl in February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribber right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Really excited, obviously, for the United States Open tomorrow. We're going to talk to Carl Paulson and Wes Reynolds about that a little bit later on in this program. Certainly more World Cup on the day, on the docket. But right now, let's talk Major League Baseball and get into it with today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, I'm getting to that part of the year where there's certain teams I'm almost just, I can't even pay attention to them anymore because it's just so painful to watch day in, day out. Yes, maybe about my Metropolitans and the Kansas City Royals. There's other teams that maybe you start looking at differently at this time of the year. What about those Phillies? We talked about them early, the terrible start. They make the change at manager. And ever since Donnie Baseball has taken over, not only do we look at them differently for the wild card in the playoffs, but Jensen, could we be looking at them as an upper echelon team these days?
I think so. Now 7 games over .500 at 40-33, just 7 back of the Atlanta Braves. By the way, check your sports books. Yesterday, with the suspension of that game, you could still have those bets live. I know I have a money line still live on the Braves at $1.52. So double check. Each book will be different on those house rules there. So again, they will resume that later this afternoon. As pertains to the Phillies, they have just been a well-oiled machine since Don Mattingly took over, as you mentioned, as the interim manager. I think they keep it rolling here this afternoon. Series finale there at Citizens Bank Park. Andrew Painter will take on Sandy Alcantara. They have handled the Marlins to this point, and it has not been a close series, Dave, whatsoever. I think we're getting a discount here on the Phillies. I did find them minus $1.09 on Novig here this morning. So they are 21-14 as a home favorite. Which they are today. Miami 9-15 is a road dog, just 2-4, Dave, in the last 6 road starts by Sandy Alcantara straight up there. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's stay right there in the city of brotherly love. So Phillies money line minus $1.09, our first play today. Deep in the heart of Texas, Tigers and Astros, an intriguing series here the last couple of days, but we get the series finale today. And I also think a matchup that favors some run suppression. It's going to be Casey Mize getting the ball for the Detroit Tigers. Peter Lambert, who has been one of the better stories here recently of a really beaten up Houston Astro rotation. I do think we find our way to the under. I'm going to play an under 8.5. Found that at minus $1.13 on Novig as well. Seeing eights there at Circa and elsewhere around the market. Dave, 7 consecutive games started by Casey Mize of the Tigers, in which 7 or fewer runs were scored combined, regardless of opponent. Oh. 7 times. The offense has disappeared, but Casey Mize has been equal to the task. So that's a trend I don't want to get in front of. And the way Peter Lambert has been throwing too, let's stick with it. So an afternoon affair there at Daikin Park, under 8.5, minus $1.13 for Tigers and Astros.
I love to do this and ask these questions to you because with the trade deadline coming in early August, and here we are in mid-June, and I'm looking at those fighting fish, as you mentioned today, going up against the Phillies, and they're now 2 games under .500 after losing the first 2 in this series. They're 3 back of the wild card, but 2 of the teams in the wild card, again, we think the Phillies are going to be not only in play there for a wild card, but maybe we can run down the Braves, who knows. It's the Cardinals and the Nationals right now that would be holding down those 2 other wild card positions in the National League. Now, I'm not saying that this is fugazi and fool's gold with those 2 teams, but I think if you're a team like the Marlins or a team like the Pirates or even the Diamondbacks, you might look at that and go, man, we can run down those guys, right? The reason why I bring that up is Sandy's pitching today, as you mentioned, and I keep hearing in baseball circles that he could be on the blocks before we get to the trade deadline. Wouldn't that be counter for a team like the Marlins that feels like they're in the race right now for the wild card? My question is, do you think he's really on the blocks, or is that just kind of throw it out there and see what offers you might get?
No, I think right now is that kind of year or time of the year, I should say, where every front office starts doing its due diligence. Not that they are interested in dealing per se, more so in understanding what market value would be right now. And not a shock that Sandy Alcantara's name will be one of those bandied about. Whether he does get moved or not, I think we're way too early still on the Marlins side of where they would be. And especially just looking at the wild card race, we talk about it a lot with the American League. You look at the Kansas City Royals, who are dead last right now. They're only 7.5 games out of a playoff spot. But more importantly, let's kind of look at it from the National League side. The Washington Nationals, if the playoffs started today, would occupy the final wild card spot. There are 7 teams, including those Miami Marlins, Dave, within 3 games of the final playoff spot. So very difficult at this juncture to want to jettison, knowing you still have about, you know, a month and change before we get to that August 3rd deadline. So I don't think anyone's looking to move any assets just yet. As I told you, our checkpoints will be the All-Star break, and then probably about a week before the trade deadline. That really is when teams will start to make those decisions.
All right, good, because I don't want those fish. I got some tickets on them. Don't deal Sandy. That's what I'm getting at here, in the long picture of it. You mentioned those Nationals here occupying that third wild card spot here. They're going to take on the Royals today. And you mentioned the Royals, man. I have to turn it off. I mean, I feel bad. I feel like I look at the box score and I see Bobby Witt goes 3-for-4 and they lose by 4. I mean, you know, it just seems like nothing changes right now with the dates in the calendar. What do you see today in game number 3 here between the Royals and the Nats in D.C.?
Well, another over gets home for us yesterday. Another curly W win. Why not make the sweep supreme? You get Zach Littell, who's going for the Washington Nationals. The Nats have won 4 of his last 5 home starts, and so I love where that trend's at. Also, Kansas City, a real tough time as a road dog, which they are again today. It's going to be Lewinder Avila who's going to get the ball. Total already up to 10 on DraftKings, 9.5 at Circa. Not a feel yet for the over, but, I mean, hey, rest and, you know, really repeat. It's all it's been has been overs for the Nationals. So I'm not mad at you if you want to go there. $1.21 for the Nationals is what I found on Novig, Dave. I'll play the Nats on the money line again here until they prove otherwise. I don't think Kansas City's backable at any juncture here, especially on the road. Dave, they're 6-11 straight up as a road underdog this year. I don't see that changing later on this afternoon in our nation's capital.
All right, don't look now in the AL Central. Okay, you can look. White Sox and Guardians are tied atop the division lead here. You've got a play today that you like with the Guards in action. What do you make of their matchup today? And I'm looking at the Brew Crew here. We know it's tough to win in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think just a short road dog here for the Guardians with their ace on the mound. That's Gavin Williams. This one later on tonight at 7:40 Eastern time. Brandon Sproat going to get the ball for Milwaukee. 5-1 straight up. That's what Cleveland is in the last 6 road starts by Gavin Williams, and he has been equal to the task. They're going to have to do it without Jose Ramirez for the next 5 to 7 weeks. Little spoiler alert there for stock up, stock down. But I think this is a great spot for Cleveland. Might be a lower scoring affair, but let's take the Guardians plus $1.10. Found that on Novig. I think they're going to be able to maybe win a lower scoring game. Brandon Sproat kind of been up and down here as of late, but I think the Guards do enough to scratch out a victory here in this really well-pitched series thus far.
By the way, when you look at the Guards and say the White Sox, a team we've talked a lot about here, big picture, I think we all know that the Brewers are going to be in it to win it, not just the division, but a real player here once you get to the playoffs in the National League. What about the Guardians and White Sox? Are we really looking at those two guys as a two-horse race in the Central?
Yes, but I don't think Cleveland has staying power. I think, obviously, pitching-wise, they're going to be fine. They're number 8 right now in Major League Baseball, 8.3 wins above replacement on the pitching side. I just don't know where the offense comes from. And the problem is going to be that you're 20th right now, and that's just with a couple of days without Jose Ramirez now with the hamate injury. He's out 5 to 7 weeks. Chicago has been great offensively, and that's still without Munetaka Murakami. Dave, White Sox are 7th, 10.4 offensive wins above replacement. Only the Braves, Cardinals, Nationals, Cubs, Yankees, and Dodgers are ahead of the Southsiders, and it has been, honestly, their pitching that has been the other great part of it. Now, they're 18th in pitching wins above replacement on Fangraphs, but that is plenty able to keep you in when you've got a top 7 scoring offense the way that Chicago does right now.
Amazing. I know that was one of the win totals you had on the White Sox. They're 5 games over 500 at this juncture, even with that loss to the Yankees yesterday. Pretty darn good start to the season here. All right, when we come back, a real treat. You listen to him on Inside the Ropes on SiriusXM, talking all things golf. Former tour player himself, Carl Paulson, joins the program from Shinnecock Hills. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We're really excited for the beginning of our national championship tomorrow, the United States Open. And Jensen, who better to break it down? A man that's already there on the grounds, enjoying Shinnecock Hills, Carl Paulson, CP. Of course, a former player here on the PGA Tour. You know him now listening to Inside the Ropes on Sirius XM, a fantastic listen daily. PGA Tour Radio joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at C Paulson Golf. Carl, man, great to catch up with you before a major. We always like to save the big guns for a tournament like this. I know that it seems like it's going to be brutal. You're there. You've seen it already. Will it be as hard as advertised?
Yes, it will. I played in the 04 Open here, and it was really firm, and it was dry, and they kind of lost the greens a little bit and lost the golf course, and I'll get back to that in just a minute, but this is just a brutal test of golf. If they just one day on a Tuesday in, I don't know, let's just, you know, in July said, you know what, we're going to have a U.S. Open next week, and they don't do anything differently to the golf course, maybe 10 under par would win this tournament. That's how hard this golf course is. Now you get the USGA involved, and you get the rough up, and you get the greens firm, and they're running at 12 and a half or 13 on the stimp meter. Oh. Everything is saying that this is going to be right around even par. Now you put in the conditions of the wind that we're going to have. They're saying up to 45 miles an hour gusts tomorrow afternoon. The golf course can't take that. If we get 45 mile an hour gusts, I don't think the guys are going to be on the golf course tomorrow afternoon. We'll have to wait and see what that all brings us. But this golf course is just an absolute beast.
Carl, I mean, that's giving me shades of the Open, and we still got a month or so before we got to see anything like that. So anxious to see if we get some Lynx-esque kind of feel beginning tomorrow. Of course, the big headline is this is the final major that Scottie Scheffler would need to accomplish the career Grand Slam. He kind of had some comments, Carl, and I'm intrigued your thoughts since you've been around it a long time. Yeah, he said that's not the grading scale that he goes to. Okay, winning the Grand Slam would be great, but that's not what he holds him to. With where his recent form is and his skill set attacking this course, how viable is he into the weekend and a chance to win and achieve that career Grand Slam?
Well, those lights in Vegas are pretty bright for a reason. He's the betting favorite each and every week that he tees it up, and that's because he is head and shoulders better than everybody else at this game. Right now, he's having a little bit of a struggle getting started off in tournaments, and I really can't give you a reason for that. It just kind of is this little pattern that's kind of evolved. But if he gets off to a good start, and by the way, he's got an excellent tee time. He's playing tomorrow morning before all these heavy winds are supposed to come in. If he gets off to a good start, if he shoots even par tomorrow, his odds are going to drastically go down in terms of the value to win this golf tournament. I certainly think he has as good or a better chance than anybody else of winning, even despite his recent form, which is crazy for us to even be saying. I mean, the guy's second in the FedEx Cup points by 6 points, and we're all ready to jump off a cliff because he hasn't won, since January. But Scotty's, you can never count Scotty out.
CP, because you're one of the few guys here that's actually played in the U.S. Open here on this golf course, as you mentioned back in 04, give me the characteristics that you think the player that's going to win will need to duke this out for 4 days. What are you exactly looking for that championship makeup?
You know, we were having this discussion yesterday. In my mind, it's going to be strokes gained approach. Whoever hits the best approach shots. Now, of course, whoever's hitting good approach shots is going to be playing from the fairway. So that's a given. You're going to have to hit the ball in the fairway. But the fairways are pretty generous. They're 45 yards wide this year. The USGA didn't come in and narrow the fairways like they normally do when they play here at Shinnecock. So they're playing the fairways just like the members play it. Now, with the firmness of the golf course and the wind that we're going to have, they're going to play a lot smaller than that. But let's just assume we have a pack of guys that drive it pretty well. From there, I think the guy that's going to win this tournament is going to have the best numbers in terms of approach. These greens are so hard to hit. They're like upside-down cereal bowls. There's some fall-off on the front, right, left, and back of every single green. Robert Damron's out here, who won on the PGA Tour, part of our crew on Sirius XM this week, and we walked with like three holes on the golf course, and he looked me dead in the eye, and he goes, I wouldn't hit one green out here. I don't hit it high enough. therein lies the problem. You have to hit it. It's a links-style golf course, but you have to hit it high coming into the greens to stop it on the greens. And now we've got these heavy winds that are going to come in and be blowing the golf ball all over the place. I mean, we could see some serious carnage this week.
Carl, with that in mind, does that eliminate some guys? We did a fun segment earlier in the week called the No Fly Zone, gave three guys that we would stay away from pretty much in any market this week. One that Dave and I agreed on was Brooks Koepka, just with the hand injury, just kind of don't know what to expect, add in the difficulty and the conditions of the course. Yeah, that would certainly be one that would be adverse to wanting to back here. Are there any guys there? And I'll give you the floor. Take us either side. A guy maybe that you would want to stay away from, or maybe a guy that would fly under the radar right now that might be able to handle day one of the conditions and find his way deep into the weekend.
I wouldn't stay away from Brooks Koepka. Let's start off with that. It's just an ulnar nerve issue that he's had. I've had that issue before. It just goes away in a couple of days with a little bit of treatment. He's tough as nails. I'm looking at guys like Brooks in terms of makeup, not their golf game, but just their mental attitude and the makeup of the person. Brooks is a guy that I'm looking at. Tough guys that don't really care about what the winning score is going to be. Don't really care if they have some bad stretches. They know that they're just going to stay in it. I wouldn't stay away from Brooks, but there are a few that I would stay away from right now. And my first one is Bryson DeChambeau. I just don't know where he mm-hmm. is mentally right now. He was awfully weird in terms of wanting to meet with the media at the PGA Championship. He's a super high ball hitter and doesn't have the best short game. You know, he's chipping with clubs that are a lot longer than everybody else's. And we saw that short game kind of derail his chances of making the cut at the Masters. And with not being able to hit all these greens out here because of the conditions, the short game's going to be awfully important as well. Would it surprise me if he played well and finished 10th or 15th in this tournament? No. But it also wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play well at all, because we've kind of seen that. But that's kind of the one that juts out into my mind right now. I'm trying to think of some others, but that's the one that kind of sticks out.
That's exactly somebody Jensen and I talked about that we would avoid and maybe, you know, play the old no pass line here, if you will, in gambling parlance, that we maybe to miss the cut. If give you three names that you think have realistic shots to win, forget about the price points, but three guys that you expect to see up and around the top of the leaderboard come Sunday.
Going off of past experiences in this tournament and the record that he has, Xander Schauffele is a guy that I would, I don't know if you're going to play him for an outright, but if you play Xander for a top 10, that's going to be, you know, I mean, he finishes in the top 10 most of the times in this tournament. He's a tough hombre. He's got that makeup of a guy that I'm looking for. He hits a draw, which is going to maybe stay a little bit tighter with all of this wind. If we're getting winds of 30 plus, you can bring the ball down just a little bit. But again, these greens aren't very receptive to lower shots. So that's kind of an issue that these guys are going to be dealing with. But I really like Xander. Going off of recent form, going back to the last time that we played here and the guy shot 63, Tommy Fleetwood is a guy that I would look at very seriously if I'm throwing some money on this thing. And lastly, I'm going to go with another Brit and go with Matt Fitzpatrick. He's won three times this year, second place last week. He can hit his driver lower than anybody in this tournament. And he's another guy that's got that built-in toughness. So those are kind of my three that I'm looking at.
Very popular names for me and Jensen as well. So we love it when great minds think alike. CP, fantastic stuff, man. Check him out, Inside the Rope, SiriusXM. We appreciate your time. And again, very quickly, is it everything that – do you like to watch this and not play this these days because how hard it's going to be?
We were having that discussion yesterday about – what I would shoot, and it would be a lot, brother. I don't want to play this golf course.
Oh, you're an honest man. There he is, everybody. Carl Paulson. Give him a follow on X at C Paulson Sport Golf and check him out Inside the Ropes on Sirius XM. We are back. More by the books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.